gathers for him to be. Humble me. Please humble me. When I leave eternally, relify desire, blah, blah, qualities. Shrouded in the ideals of a world so misguided. I'm no counselor, just what I need. When I feel like I know the deal, truth has got to be revealed. Power and honor and glory be. Humble me. Please humble me. I remember years ago, all the stuff I did not know in slavery. Freedom makes the choir sing. Some approach the truth they show someday. All stains are washed away. White as the snow they say. We're not lived up by yay, yay, yay.
Welcome to Dentaline Magazine's The Basement Tapes. I'm Mike Indest, your host, and we've got a first tonight in a couple of ways. First of all, the Beatitudes are with us, and this is the first time anybody sent in a CD. I've hunted down everyone else who's been on the show, and it's the first time we have more than one person doing the interview. So welcome, guys.
Hey, Mike. We like being first.
Yeah.
Hey, that's good. So I got the CD, I got the bio, and we'll delve into that in a bit. You have an interesting history. The CD is, I think the first impression I had is it's tight. The musicianship, the songwriting, it's absolutely fantastic. And I know, well, I think this is your debut. So for those of y'all out there who don't know who they are, and for me, tell us a little bit about yourselves and tell us why you started the band.
I am Kurt Wakeford. Goodness, I am a young man at 42. I've been playing guitar since I was about 13. I grew up in the heavy metal scene, doing all the hard rock, Van Halen stuff. You know, anything with a wild guitar part to it, I was playing. I played guitar in the band, in backups. Came to Christ a number of years ago, and it really kind of took a hiatus for a while. And it was Eric and the guys here that got me back into it about 5-6 years ago, going full-blown into it, and really enjoying every second of it, so... It's been a great ride so far.
And just to give you a quick history of the band, I mean, as the bio states, Mike, we started, I guess, back 2008, 2009, yeah, somewhere around there. Richie, Russell and I have known each other for years. We played in a praise and worship band at our church together. over to Churchover, New Jersey, and then a couple of years later, he had moved away. He came back. His brother Richie ended up coming to my church, so we ended up playing, and we're playing in a praise and worship band there that ended up splintering off into kind of a side original band. And, you know, you kind of gravitate to certain people and situations, and we had a good thing going, I think, with that. But, you know, I obviously had a history playing with my brother, too, and when things didn't pan out on that end, we ended up going into more of an original music direction. The four of us got together, actually, with another singer. I mean, this is Eric. I'm the bass player, and we went in with four of us and another guy singing, and our good friend Jim, and that's kind of how we planned on being the Beatitudes at first when we first started this, and for a number of different reasons, a couple of years back, we'll say 2009, so about 2.5 years ago, it ended up, we said, hey, we can go find another singer, we can just try this thing. We had a bunch of songs we had put together, and this is what we did. We started recording, we started something that actually even before we had an album, we had done a couple of initial recordings, got some nice feedback, did a couple of contests, some Battle of the Bands that were even in the secular realm, and had a lot of really really positive feedback. And then some things we've done over the couple of years got us to this point, making the record.
Well, the record sounds absolutely fantastic. Like I said before, it's very tight, but the songs are great. The musicianship, every time I listen to it, I'm like, all right, I didn't hear that the first time. The harmonies, it's excellent. So y'all are this is seems to be more than a hobby. Y'all put a lot of time and effort and I'm assuming money into this as well. You'd mentioned you had played, you know, in some contests in the secular arena or whatever. This is always it's always an interesting question to hear how people answer it. But what are your goals with the band?
Well, I think our goals are to play our music and get the word out, you know, and into a wide audience, you know, like we said, we played in battle bands that were not so much in a Christian format, but we were able to get into the battle bands, and people wouldn't even know we were Christian until we actually said something to them, which we thought was really cool because, you know, music speaks for itself, and then once they find out, they'll learn that they like the band, they start listening to the words, and then they thought, oh, well, they'll take them somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Excellent. And, so are you doing this more as a missionary thing, or are you doing this? I mean, are you playing in church stuff too, or do y'all feel like you really need to go out there and preach the gospel?
I think we preach the gospel with our hands and our mouths when we play and what we do. A big part of this, we're kind of in that situation where we're really not a praise and worship band, right? So we don't fit necessarily in the traditional church scene. But in the same sense, you know, we're not that secular heavy metal band or hard rock band or alternative band that's out there as well. So we kind of just, I guess, Eric, you can collaborate on this a little bit, play our music, play it the way we want to play it, and whoever's going to take us, that's where we're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we, I mean, I would love to be in a praise and worship band. I just, from a writing style, I'm not good at that. You know, maybe that's a cop-out, but I've never been good at that. This is Eric talking.
We want to rock. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think there's some praise and worship bands, even the rock out there. I don't think that's it per se. I just think that, you know, hey, we love bands, like, and then are influenced by bands, like, so obviously by, I mean, Terry Taylor, you know, to the ends of the earth. I mean, Terry Taylor's one of my favorite songwriters up there with McCartney and Neil Finn in my own world, but... and I've told him that to his face. And
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, from that to, you know, to Jars of Clay, to PFR, to, you know, bands like that. But at the same point, very influenced by, you know, The Frames and Crowded House and The Beatles and Cheap Trick and, you know, bands like that as well. So, I mean, a lot of that comes through. And I think that maybe it's a gender frame. I mean, we're a band of Christians, and we're a Christian band, and we play churches a lot. I mean, we do youth groups and things, but at the same point, we're not necessarily out there trying to pitch ourselves at bars and so forth, but we've been asked to do those types of things too. And I don't think we're necessarily against them. It would have to be the right situation where we felt we weren't compromising anything, I think, as far as the message. So it is, to answer your question, Mike, sorry to make a long...
No, this is great.
It is that absolutely it's a mission on our end. I think it has to be. I find it impossible to write anything. I read Kerry Livgren. I read an interesting story in his autobiography when he said when he became a Christian in Kansas, Steve Walsh and maybe some of the other guys, he had a hard time with where he was going with it, you know, back in the late 70s, 80s. And he said, but once I became a Christian, I found it impossible to write any other way. And lyrically, I agree with that. I mean, my lyrics aren't exactly over the top anyway, as far as, you know, again, being praise and worship-y, if you will, but I don't think I could write about anything that didn't talk about God in some way, shape, or form. So I think that it definitely is a mission from that perspective. But, you know, we're just trying to find our niche, wherever God has us, wherever he wants to put us, that's all.
Excellent. Well, let's jump back into the music. I got a few more tracks queued up here as per your request. So what do you want to play next?
Let's start off with Don't Stare.
All righty.
Partner, quiet like the afternoon. All those gears are turning, the ship is headed for the moon. All our lives we never could have dreamed. Where are we returning? Destiny could be. Signal. But what's inside your head? When the traffic hinders, some things are better left unsaid. Again, don't stare at the sun.
Project Meaning Underneath the Sound. And Eric, I know you had mentioned a few of your influences, so I'll just tell you, on first listen to this album, if I didn't know who your influences were, I would have said this reminds me of a modern day version of the Daniel Amos album Alarma, or maybe a Jacob's Trouble record. So the Terry Taylor influences are definitely there, as well as a bunch of others. So, you know, you picked out four songs. They're all different. They're all really good. But I do hear maybe the Crowded House, Ecstasy a little bit, Beatles in some of this, and you know, some 90s rock too. So everybody else, you know, Eric, you already told us who influenced you. Everybody else, chime in. Tell us what your influences are that kind of made this this mix happen.
Russell, the drummer, who's your influence?
My influences are like the Beatles. I don't know, I like Third Day.
Loves John Bonham, I can tell you that.
Bonham, the drummer, absolutely.
What do you got, Richie?
For myself, I'm an old classic rock guy. I mean, I like the Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, Alice Cooper, but even a little bit more newer than that, Black Crowes. I'm a big Rich Robinson fan.
Peter Frampton,
pretty gonzo over him. I think he's one of the best out there. Yeah. Obviously, he's fantastic.
This is Kurt. Oh my goodness, I got a lot. I mean, I grew up in the '80s, so obviously I'm a Van Halen fan. I'm a Steve Vai fan. Anyone with a wild guitar sound is something that I would listen to. But I mean, I stretch back to the swing back into the '20s and the '40s with Glenn Miller and Dorsey. These guys I used to listen to. My dream one day is to do In the Mood in about a 30-part guitar harmony.
Oh, nice.
So crazy on it on a recording. That's the things I would love to do. King's X, obviously the Beatles and things of that nature, back to old Christian rock like Petra back when they were big. So it varies from one end to the next.
Well, let me ask you this, because there's a lot going on the record, but nothing really, this is the other thing I noticed too from a musician standpoint, is nothing ever, nothing steps on anything else. So you may have a killer guitar solo, but it fits in with the song. So you got some great just tones, amp tones on this record. Everything seems to be recorded pretty well. How did you go about the process of recording? Is this a home recording, or did you go into a studio and do this?
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's home recording. Sorry, this is Eric. And we did it in a couple of different places between my house, this is Eric again, this, which is La La Land, and Richie's house, which is Amy's place, Bronx West. It's just on the two studios on the list of the record.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you know, yeah, our especially our two guitar guys here are, you know, tone gurus. Richie's owns three Les Pauls. Kurt's the Strat guy who also owns a Les Paul, and I've got a couple guitars too. So we,
Richie,
you know,
has a Strat too. Let's be safe.
Yeah, it did at least at one point. And that's always our argument. Our funny argument in the band is Gibson versus Fender, anyway. But I keep trying to throw Rickenbacker in the mix, being a bass player.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
We're not a big. We record on a 32-track digital, but it's all. I try to go by the, the Roy Thomas Baker, process of stick a mic in front of something and let the guitar amp do the work as much as you can, and then mix down from there.
Mm-hmm. So. Excellent. So you didn't put it into Pro Tools or anything like that, or the final mix or the mastering or anything?
I used a Korg D3200. Was the DAW that we used, self-contained. I did use some plugins here and there in Cubase, but, you know, nothing, no. We didn't go to Pro Tools or anything from that perspective.
Well, I am even more impressed, because usually today records are a, you know, cut-and-paste kind of a job. So y'all definitely have the chops. So putting out a record, and you know, it always fascinates me to see other people's, you know, process in doing this. So I know, you know, you kind of got together, you started doing this. We're all about the same age, I guess. Were y'all in bands prior to this? Or I know some of y'all have families, wives, whatever. How did you approach that? Hey, I'm starting a rock band again.
Well, again, some of us, because it all generated from some things we were doing at church, but that was kind of a side. I mean, all of us, all four of us have been, again, we're two sets of brothers here, which is kind of a unique scenario. So Curtis and I, we had a band back in the late 80s called Destiny that did an independent record at the time. We were on the kind of the New Jersey, fast track, New Jersey, New York track as far as some of the original bands back at that point, late 80s, early 90s. We weren't even in some rap, R&B stuff that I had done since then, punk rock, etc. Now, Richie and Russ, I'll let you guys speak to that, but they're from also the North Jersey, Central Jersey area, out this neck of the woods, and they had their bands, you know, over time too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. This is Rich. Yeah, Russ and I, we played like in classic rock bands growing up, and just doing a lot of covers. Then we had a band later on, Tremor. It was all original, a little more heavy rock, but it was good. But it was all original, and just start progressing from there. You know, I guess as we got older and start meeting different people, and we met these guys, Eric and Kurt, things just start to happen. Just felt the click.
I guess going from, like, if you took it from, say, the mid-90s into that point to, a few years ago, that point between the four of us, we had all been in, you know, a couple of cover bands here and there, maybe an original band here or there, but nothing really, we'll say, quote-unquote, serious until really a band called Tribestone, which was, you know, kind of 2008 with Richie, Russ, and I, and a little bit before that, Curtis and I had an original band we were trying to do, and then that didn't pan out. I started going with these guys, and we pulled this all together, you know, a couple of years later. So our wives are, you know, all behind it. Certainly we all have kids, we all have families, and that's part of it too. You know, we all have day gigs. Nobody's fooling anybody. But,
right.
You know, hey, Lord willing, one day we can do this for a living. That would be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, we'll see where that goes.
And Lord's blessed us with the families that really do. Really do support it and kind of encourage it.
Most of our kids are musicians.
Yeah.
At once, you know, doing something. So it's all in the family, sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's great to have that support. Let's talk about the support from not necessarily your church, but just the church in general. I know we had talked before about, you know, praise and worship. That seems to be the thing. It's safe. Youth pastors like it. You know, you go in, you say you're a praise and worship band, and everybody's happy, and there's really not that much of a problem. Everybody is moving in that direction. You mentioned that y'all aren't, and you can't. That's just not where you are. How are y'all being accepted in that world, doing something that's not kind of bucking against the norm right now?
It's funny you talk about that. We were just talking tonight about some questions we've had into maybe playing with a church out here that's kind of centered around the biker community.
Nice.
Which is a good way to put it. A youth group at my church, this is Eric, that Richie and Russ have both been to over the years. We've played there a couple of times, you know, to the youth group, and they specifically know we're not a quote-unquote, you know, praise and worship band, and the kids totally dig it, you know. But then again, this is a youth pastor that likes motorcycles and stuff, too. So I think I think anybody that's open to, hey, we're not gonna judge based on what preconceived notions are. We're just going to listen to the music and see what we like and listen to the words and see what we like. Anybody who looks at that, just at the basic bare bones of it, I think usually come out and say, hey, this is a band we dig. You know, and when we look into the lyrics, we understand that you're not preaching at us, but there's a meaning underneath the sound, so to speak.
Right.
But at the same point, and I think that's one of the things the kids like. And even if they're, you know, maybe not into the same bands we're into and our influences, they appreciate that, hey, this is rocking. You know?
Right. Yeah, and today's church is a little bit different than when we grew up in the 80s and 90s with the church. I mean, you have Liquid Church out there now that has a real hard rock praise and worship band that's up there every weekend with the pastor doing things behind him, where it's essentially a rock concert with the pastor.
Yeah.
And you have so many other influences out there. My goodness, my kids listen to, like, Devil Wears Prada, which is a Christian
right.
rap emo band, you know. And I went to concerts with them watching that. I'm like, I can get into this. You know, there's so many different things. If you're going to preach to the youth and you're going to preach to people, you got to preach to the level they understand, and they understand this type of music.
Excellent. Well, let's jump back into the music. We've got a couple more queued up, so you tell me what you want to hear.
Phoebe Really Likes Me.
All right. Well, before we play, do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Phoebe Really Likes Me. Actually, out of all the songs on the record, that's our newest song of the 11 tunes on the record. And it's got kind of a neat story behind it. It's our allegory, you know, if you will, allegorical tale. It's our Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe type of a thing. Phoebe, and when my wife first heard the words, she said, who that blank is Phoebe? What do you write the song about this girl that Phoebe really likes me about? I'm like, honey, you got to believe me. Phoebe is not really a girl. Though obviously it's a girl's name. It's a biblical girl's name, by the way. But Phoebe is music. If you look at Phoebe and you're listening to the words and realize it's, and I get this a lot from Oswald Chambers, that sometimes there's things that are not necessarily bad for us, that may be good, but that still can get in the way or get in between us and Jesus. and what he's trying to tell us. And that's kind of what Phoebe really likes me is about, is that, for me, my thing since I can remember, the music, and it's just music, one way, shape, or form. And that's such a good thing, but sometimes it can be a bad thing when it can be something that almost becomes an idol to you at some point. And that's kind of what Phoebe's about, is that, and in this particular case, it's music, but it could be anything that maybe not something that's bad, but still something that you're lusting for, or that's between you and, what God's will for, what glorifying God's going to be for you.
Better on a Saturday, well, I must have been one or two. Though it was familiar with her, well, something woke, it was completely new. Passion had been activated without a place to go. And I knew shooter in the dark, just looking for her glow. Yeah. I heard every rule she whispered, even though she was a liar. She was above nearly everything, though her power was not higher. Once the sun gonna set or when the chieftain must get done? I've seen the forest through the trees, I've heard the song it's sung. Because Phoebe really likes me, okay. That Phoebe really cares. I said Phoebe, you know she really, really likes me. Okay. I said Phoebe understands. You know she really cares. You know she understands. She knows that I'm her man. She said you better watch your step.
All right, and that was Phoebe Likes Me. I'm Mike Indester, host. We're talking with the Beatitudes about their debut project, Meaning Underneath the Sound. And it's not a linear record in the sense that all the songs are different. You know, they all sound like y'all, but they all kind of, they're different. You don't get bored listening to the album, which is a great thing, especially these days. So putting all this effort into it, you know, going out and playing, and, you know, I know you can't be making a whole lot of money, if anything, you know, out there doing it. What is your next step? You're out there, you're playing music, in churches sometimes, in the secular world sometimes. It's expensive to put a CD out. How are y'all getting the word out there about what y'all are doing and what y'all are up to?
Well, we're we've gone through a season here.
Hold on, I want to step back. You said we can make money at this?
Yeah. not much money.
Throw that in there.
A love offering here and there, yeah.
Amen. And you know, obviously it's a joke sometimes, and maybe it's not the right joke, but hey, if you want to make money, don't be in a Christian rock band. I've heard many people say that before. Usually Christian rock bands would say,
yeah.
But no, that's not our obviously, if we were in it for the money, that wouldn't be why we do it. But we've been blessed in a lot of ways. I mean, some things that have kind of panned out for us that have been cool. So, you know, we've gone through a season here where we came out of the gate, you know, a couple years back, 2009 or what have you, and, you know, things kind of happened fast. We got some accolades. We got some gigs that were cool, you know, with winning an award here, there, being in a, you know, in a finalist in a competition there or in a music fest there. We've had some losses over the last couple of years from a personal level, from a family level. One of us has lost a wife. One of us has lost a son.
Oh, man.
Taking a step back to a certain extent. And during that same period was the period where we were recording this record. You know, now these songs were already written at that point, except maybe Phoebe, which I guess came in kind of later in the project. But, you know, it definitely had an effect. And I think... it's God's timing. You know, the effect of the recording of the record maybe took longer than it would have had to have taken because of some things we went through from a family perspective. But we always said when we started this band that it was all going to be about being friends. It was all going to be about our families. If it ever got in the way of that, we wouldn't do it. And whatever God was going to do with it, we know he wouldn't want it to take precedence over our families or over the friendships or whatever. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, as we've approached it every day, that's still how we go at it now. Now we're to the point where, okay, we got the record done. You know, it's out there for a couple of months now. We're getting some tweaks here and there. We're still kind of just diving in. We're still new, we'll say, to some of the social media type stuff, but we're starting to see some feedback there. We're starting to dive back into some gigs now after you know, being in hibernation for a year or so. We're also back in the studio temporarily doing some new things here with the Not record and Not tribute and some things that you and I had talked about, Mike, but with some new songs we've written. But that's our plan here, going into fall of 2012 and winter and hopefully carrying on to spring, summer of 2013. This is hopefully going to be our big stretch as far as starting to book in some other gigs and doing some of the things, plus just writing a whole bunch of new songs.
Yeah, we're starting to write again.
Excellent. No, that's absolutely fantastic. So if people are out there, and maybe they want to get a hold of the CD. Hopefully they'll want to get a hold of the CD. I can vouch for it. The whole thing is really, really good. How can they do this? How can they get in touch with y'all online?
Great. Well, the number one way most people do is through our Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/TheBeatitudes, TheBeatitudes. Very easy. They can tweet us at TheBeatitudes, TheBatitudes. We have a MySpace, too, which is just myspace.com/TheBeatitudesRock. These days, and I think everybody else is on the same page, we're going to the Facebook and Twitter thing. We're working on just our straight-owned page as well. It'll probably be out there at some point. But you can always email us at TheBeatitudes@gmail.com as well.
Yeah, and you can search on CD.
We're on iTunes. We're on CD Baby. We're on Amazon, you know, any of those places as well.
Okay, excellent. And you do have, which I have in my hand right now, a physical CD. A lot of people just have, you know, download. You actually are selling a physical CD as well.
Amen.
Right.
Hey, we would do vinyl. We're taking vinyl next time, too. Like,
oh, that would be sweet.
That's vinyl. I love that.
All right. So you said you're working on some new songs. I know there's, you know, the Basement Tapes thing that we got in the works. And then what are you doing for the Michael Knott tribute?
We are doing Never Forsaken. And actually, we just did some guitar. We'll have that finished probably in the next week or two, Lord willing. But I hope, I don't want to give away too much at this point because it's going to be up pretty soon. But put it this way, it's not the same version everybody's heard. So
excellent.
We're hoping Knott digs it. And if he does, then I think everybody else will.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm hoping there's, I think, 33 contributors now to this tribute to Michael Knott that Down the Line is doing. And I'm really hoping that everybody does, you know, some sort of different take on their favorite Knott song.
Ours is a different take with still the Knott to the...
Yeah, we're still trying to keep the spirit of it, but absolutely it's our take.
Excellent. Sure. Well, I definitely can't wait to hear it. Well, thanks a bunch. Do y'all have any parting words?
Just God bless everybody. Be on the lookout. We're going to have some new stuff out, the Beatitudes, and we really want to thank you, Mike, and the Basement Tapes Down the Line. We know we're doing a review, Lord willing, of the CD, I believe, that that Matt's going to do for the, I think, the next issue, one of the issues. We have it in with CCM Magazine as well. We're hopefully going to be putting something out. So we're just trying to spread the word. You know, kind of keep the faith, you know, from that perspective.
Excellent. Right? Well, we'll definitely have y'all again on when you come out with a new project. So we're going to wrap things up with Far Away. If someone wants to tell us a little bit about that one.
This is a song that's definitely evolved over the years. There started out with my version of what I call the Native American gospel song. Being Curtis and I are Cherokee from both our grandparents on our mother's side. So I've always kind of had that in me, and I've written a lot of songs that have had a tint of that over the years. But, you know, being a Christian, I had to approach that a little bit differently from a spiritual perspective, I think, when you get into some of that. And this came to this point where we brought in some friends, Peggy and Tracy, that sang some of the female backgrounds that are on the record that we think really added a nice touch compared to what we've done live with it. But this is the song our parents like the best.
Not so much hard rock on it. So.
Yeah. This is definitely the far right of our CD.
All right. Well, we'll play it. And thanks again for being on the Basement Tapes.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mike.
Got you.
crowd.